He's very intentional about the literary devices that he uses. And some of those devices you can look at almost as sandwiches. The word we use in biblical scholarship is called a chiasm. Some of you may have run across that in your studies. John, the fourth gospel, uses chiasms a lot. Mark does too. He sandwiches stories in layers to make a particular point. And he's doing that again this morning with the series of healings and the way that Jesus is crossing the sea, which is the symbol of chaos, liminal space between creation and chaos. The way he crosses the boundaries of the geography between Jewish and Gentile space. And once again, he's going to cross boundaries of status and culture and class. So he comes back from the Gentiles, who he shouldn't even be fooling with, because they're just not even God's people. Like, why are you going there? And why are you healing them? That's a whole nother question. He comes back, crosses the boundaries, the borders again, transitions back into what is more like home turf, and everybody has heard about him, and everybody is coming to see him. And here comes Jairus, who represents leadership in the temple and in the house of Israel. He is a leader of the synagogue, not the temple, but a leader of the synagogue. So he is a person of status, of reputation. He clearly is one of those who are on the inside, right? He belongs. He's the one that Jesus has come for. And his daughter is dying. Now, Jairus' life is sort of the epitome of what life should look like for a good Jewish person. You know, faithful in their worship, good place in community. He's got a daughter at 12 years of age, so she's now marriageable, which, you know, kind of makes the stomach clench, but there we go, culture and time. She is marriageable, so his life is perfect. It's everything that it should be. He has done everything and is everything a good Jewish man is supposed to be, but his daughter is dying. And so he comes to Jesus to seek healing, to seek restoration for his child. And Jesus goes. He agrees to go. He immediately sets out. And then this wonderful interruption in the Gospel of Mark. As Jesus is going, and you can only imagine the crowds pressing around him. People wanting to be close to him. People wanting to see him. People hoping that maybe they'll receive a blessing as well. These crowds are pressing around him. And this woman, who is very different from Jairus, shows up in the narrative. For 12 years, 12. Have you noticed the number 12 has shown up twice in this story already? Do you remember what the number 12 stands for in the scripture writings? It is a code number in Hebrew, and it stands for the tribes of Israel. So Mark is emphasizing that both of these people are the inside people, not like the Gerasene demoniac, who is about as outside as you can get. But these are inside people. They both belong to Israel. Jairus is very much an inside person. Everybody knows it. But this woman, she's a little on the fringes. We don't know her name. She has no family around her. She has had a flow of blood for 12 years. She is ritually unclean. She should not be in public. She should not be touching any other men. It doesn't matter if this flow of blood is caused by a medical condition. She is unclean. And she should not be infecting the people around her with her uncleanness. She does not belong there. And she presses into this crowd to touch Jesus. And you know this story. She is healed immediately, and she can feel immediately that she is healed. Now, one of the questions that we might have is, why is this the only story where Jesus, like, turns around and says, "Who touched me?" And part of this that might not be as familiar to us because it's not our culture, but as people looked at these kinds of miracles in Jesus' day, they would understand quite often that a person with power, when power flowed out, then that power was gone. And it would take some time for that power to recharge. This is a critical issue in this story. It is a common understanding. It's not true about Jesus, but they didn't know that. But it was a common understanding of people of how magic worked. If people claimed to have magic and use magic, the understanding was that they would use the magic and then it would be like a battery drain, you know? It would be gone for a while until it builds back up. Now, do you understand what has just happened here? This woman has come and taken healing that was not for her. She took it. She didn't ask permission. She didn't tell Jesus. She came in the crowd's perspective and took what belonged to Jairus and his daughter. This is why she's so scared. Because that may have been her understanding too. And she did it anyway because she was desperate. She touched Jesus. And in doing so, now I don't know, I'm not in her mind, but it would not be out of the ordinary to understand that her understanding was that she had taken something. So when Jesus says, "Who did that?" she is afraid. But she confesses. Now here's another border, another boundary. Another liminal space, right? A space of transition and moving across the social status and the religious status of the time. It's sort of like Jairus is very firmly within community and within the law. The Gerasene demoniac is very clearly outside community and outside the law. This woman is sort of in community but outside the law. She's in this very strange space. And the first thing that Jesus does is he turns to her and says, "Daughter." Also the second time that word has shown up. Jairus has a daughter. And that is a blessing and a gift. Jairus has his place and his future held in the gift of this daughter who will bear him grandchildren. And, you know, that's how things are supposed to work. His daughter is blessed in that she has a family who loves her and cares for her. This woman has had no one. She's out of money. She's got no hope. She's got nothing. And Jesus turns to her and he gives her a place. He names her Daughter of Israel, daughter. And her disease, here's another little interesting tidbit. The word for disease that shows up twice in this story, its root is in the word whip, beating. The beating of her body that she has been living under, the beating of her spirit and her soul that she has been living under with this disease, she is freed from. Jesus restores her. And it is not just about, the stopping of a medical complication. And it is not just about when he says your faith has saved you or your faith has made you well. He's not just talking about salvation, which we all receive, but he is also talking about this identity of restoration into community. She is restored into community with that act and with that word. The boundary, the border, that liminal space in which she lives, where she's not really in, not really out, and doesn't know where she belongs, that's all taken away. Now, Jesus then continues and goes on to Jairus' house, where it's really interesting because all these people are following him. Because he's so powerful and does these amazing miracles. And when he says she's not dead, she's sleeping, they laugh as though they know better. I find that confusing. But they laugh at Jesus and tell him there's no point, there's no hope. You know, this is ridiculous. You're foolish. And of course he goes in and restores this child. Child is also in liminal space, right? As a 12-year-old daughter, she is on the cusp of adulthood. She is in the liminal space between the now and the hope of the future for herself and her family. Liminal spaces all over this story. And Jesus restores to her the future for her and her family. Now, there's an interesting dynamic in this gospel, an interesting dynamic for the healings that Jesus has done and the way that Mark has presented them for us. Because what Mark has done is depicted Jesus crossing over all kinds of different boundaries, liminal spaces, and healing people, restoring people in all kinds of spaces. He restores the Gerasene demoniac, who is definitely outside the law in the Jewish custom and tradition. Shouldn't have even been fooling with him, but he restores him. Then he restores this woman who's in this sort of middle ground, and then he restores the one who is clearly blessed and inside the law and yet still stands in need of healing. And here's the thing about how Mark handles these stories. He layers them up, and thereby he makes them interdependent. Because this ministry of healing, this ministry of restoration, is not just a bunch of individuals being restored. You know, it's kind of like, he's not doing kind of an Oprah Winfrey thing. You know, it's like, you get a healing, and you get a healing, and you get a healing, and everybody gets a healing. Look under your seats, you'll find a healing. And then you walk away with your healing. That's not what this is about. He's healing everybody because for the reign of God, these restorations and healings are interlocked. They depend upon one another. The daughter of Jairus cannot be healed without the restoration of the woman who has been cut off from her culture and society. And she cannot be healed without the restoration of the Gerasene demoniac. It's like the pieces of a wood puzzle that all have to click in and fit together to create the whole. The kingdom of God erupts and breaks in, but the places in which it breaks in, they are interdependent. And our wholeness, our shalom, never depends only on my healing. But it depends on our healing. The good news is that Jesus' power doesn't run dry. There is never not enough. There is never not enough life. There is never not enough hope. There is never not enough grace. There is never not enough mercy. There is never not enough compassion. Jesus is the healer. And in healing and restoring those who are afflicted, he connects us and links us together. And in that new creation, in that new space, the kingdom of God erupts, and it crosses all of those liminal spaces. It has no respect for class. It has no respect for, you know, religious authority. The kingdom of God erupts everywhere and anywhere that it wants to erupt. And that means that there is no border, no boundary, no line we can cross where it can't find us. And that is what makes us well. Thanks be to God.